This is the Graceful Atheist Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Graceful Atheist Podcast. My name is David, and I am trying to be the Graceful Atheist. This is a quick bonus episode. In 2020, Janice Selby set up the Conference on Religious Trauma. The pandemic hit, and all of those plans, unfortunately, were destroyed. In 2021, Janice is setting up Court again as an online conference. And so I thought I would have her on to tell us a little bit about the conference. I'll note here that the URL is feedloop.com with a PH, PHEEDLOOP.com/court/site/home. But we will definitely have the links in the show notes. And without further ado, here is Janice Selby to tell us about the Conference on Religious Trauma. Janice Selby, welcome back to the Graceful Atheist Podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Janice, I want to give you an opportunity to tell us about the Conference on Religious Trauma that is coming up in May.
Oh, thank you. I'm very excited about it. It's actually taking place online, May 11th to 16th. And we have, I think, about 21 speakers that will be joining us throughout the conference. And many of them are mental health experts who can speak knowledgeably on this topic and religious recovery. And the other ones are just fantastic people who have managed to overcome religious trauma in their own lives. And the backgrounds are varied. We have ex-Muslims, ex-Orthodox Jews, ex-Christians, ex-Mormons, ex-Moonies, you name it, we've got it, because everybody who's been part of fundamentalist religious groups has suffered trauma at some point as a result of being in those groups, and then again for leaving the group.
And you've got a number of experts as well, Dr. Marlene Wynell of Leaving the Fold fame, you've got Dr. Daryl Ray, you've got Alan Ross, who's a cult expert. Who are you looking forward to?
Yes, I've never heard Rick Allen Ross before, so I'm really excited about him. Of course, I'm a huge fan of Dr. Winnell and Dr. Ray. Excited also to hear Yasmin Muhammad, and her book is Unveiled. And I know that she is just a powerhouse. She's done lots and lots of interviews, and I'm looking forward to her as well. And Nathan Phelps, the son of a Westboro Baptist minister. So yeah, there are just so many interesting people coming from so many different angles about this. And it's my hope that therapists will attend so that they will have an introduction to religious trauma syndrome so that they can get an understanding of it. And then also we'll be talking about some recovery methods, maybe that they can look at implementing with their clients. And for people who aren't therapists, but who have been touched by religious trauma in their own life, my hope for them is that they will realize that they are far from alone. There are many, many thousands upon thousands of people, particularly at this time right now, with everything that's gone on in the United States over the last 4 years, it really has driven a lot of people out of the churches. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of them right now are trying to figure out their identity. If they no longer hold those beliefs that they once cherished, what does that leave for them? What does that mean for them? And this is a topic that will be tackled at the conference.
You also will be having friends of the podcast, Alice Gretchen and Clint Haycock. I know these are mutual friends of ours that will be there. So there's going to be a lot of different perspectives at the conference.
Oh, yes, yes. And David Hayward, the Naked Pastor, he is going to be there, and Tim Sledge as well. So those fellas will be doing an ex-clergy panel. And I know that when people have worked for the church, have had their livelihood dependent on their faith, and they no longer have that faith, they really kind of suffer a triple whammy there, because then they also have no income coming in. And often they have spent tens of thousands of dollars gaining their religious education. So now they're thinking, what do I do? Where can I go from here? And there can be a lot of guilt involved too, because for so many years, they were trying to encourage other people that this, their way of living was the only way to live.
Now, I understand the new URL, it doesn't roll off the tongue, but how can people find it? Is there a special Google search you can do to find it the quickest?
They can try Googling Conference on Religious Trauma, and hopefully that is going to come up. They can also reach out to me at CORT, that's court information at gmail.com, courtinformation@gmail.com. And I will be happy to point the way to the website for that.
Fantastic. So Janice, I'm curious to hear a little bit of the story of what happened to Court 2020 in that you had that all lined up for an in-person conference in Vancouver, BC. That was, I think, in March of 2020 or so. And as we all know, the pandemic hit us all and you had to scramble to just recover from that. I'm curious to hear that story.
It was so, I was so rudely interrupted when I was planning on, I had everything in place, as you say, had the hotel booked, had the caterers booked, you know, the invitations had gone out, tickets were selling well. And then that was supposed to be in April of last year. And then in March of last year, we really started hearing more about this virus. And I was like, ooh, I don't know. It's a really tough call because I had put so much work into it.
Yeah.
But I did, and you know, decide that the health of my speakers and attendees was more important. And now I'm super glad that I made that call. Yeah. And it works out great because having the conference online opens it up to people all around the world. We have people who will be joining us from Australia and from Europe, and it surely would have been much harder for them to come to Vancouver for the conference. And also it means the price is lower because online conferences are just generally less expensive than when you have to do it in person. When I had to make that call, it was really tough. And then there were other things that came into play as well. My partner who had helped me set things up for the conference was also a romantic partner. We'd been together a number of years. When I had to postpone the conference, he disappeared, and so did the money for the tickets.
Oh, no.
So then I was faced with a monumental task of emotional recovery and financial recovery myself. So I worked very hard to ensure that people who had purchased tickets, if they wanted their money back, if they didn't want me to hold the money for the next event, that they all got their money back, which meant I had to take out personal loans to make sure everybody was refunded. But that was important to me. I wanted very much to maintain my integrity. And I'm glad I did it because a lot of those folks now are very happy to be able to join us for the conference online. But it hurt. It was so painful. It was like a terrible, awful time in my life.
I can only imagine. Oh my goodness. You have been on the podcast before and you told us your deconversion story. And I think there's a tiny parallel here. I was in Europe before the pandemic in February of 2020. And I came home and I was telling family and friends, I'm like, you don't understand. This is serious. So I had kind of a 2-week head start on everyone else. And you could see the rolling denial break on people. Yeah. So like you're describing, you know, what a tough call that must have been for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the same thing happen with local events and family events and things. And each of us had to go through this process of, wait, you really mean we're going to lock down? And then I forget the exact date, but what is it? You know, March 15th or 20th or something like that. We all decided like, that's it. It's over. And the rest is history.
It's been a tough year.
It's interesting just as a social experiment how human beings behave.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for people who had perhaps just before that time or right around that time had determined that their faith was no longer working for them. Mm. And so they were now no longer part of their religious community. And community is a huge draw factor. It's a big thing that keeps people involved in religion.
Right.
And then we go into a lockdown situation. So then they really, we don't have access to other people. We can't just go and, you know, sit in the bar or the pub and try and meet people or go to, you know, activities that we usually would do.
Right.
So I do feel that this year has really taken a toll on everybody, but particularly on those who found themselves without a community.
Right. Now you work in the mental health profession, and I think with a focus on religious trauma, did you see more clients come to you or less?
It's hard to say because since I really started focusing on the conference, because I only I was so thrown off emotionally by everything that happened around me, having to cancel or postpone the conference. It took me quite a while to get myself back to the point where I thought, okay, I'm ready to do this. Let's move the conference online. And I only decided that, I think, like in the beginning of February. And since then, I haven't been seeing any clients at all. I have been putting clients on hold, saying I really have to focus on this, and then I'll resume seeing clients again and doing my group work also towards the end of May. And so thankfully people have been gracious and understanding, and everyone's really excited about it. I can say that for the mental health field as a whole, it has been a very busy. We have had a huge increase, and therapists also need therapists, sure, for that reason, because there's a kind of vicarious trauma that we can have from listening to such devastating and sad stories over and over and over again. So a really good therapist also makes sure that they have their own mental health clinician that they interact with.
Right. One of the things that I just recently noticed is that you have started a new podcast with Courtney Hurd called Godless Moms. Really, I'm just really excited about that because I have so many guests who one of the main questions they ask is, I'm recently deconverted, deconstructing. How do I handle my kids? How do I do that? So there's a bit of a focus on secular parenting. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. I love Courtney. She's my gal. She actually lives real close to me. We're only about an hour apart, oh, cool, which is so funny. Yeah. And I had a lot of respect for her beforehand. And then I got to know her when I was putting together the first conference on religious trauma.
Right.
And then a few months ago, she said to me, hey, you know what? It's time for us to do a podcast on secular parenting. Let's do it. And I was like, yes, yeah, sign me up. This is so overdue. And between the two of us, because Courtney grew up atheist and is very well known in the atheist community, and I grew up quite fundamentalist.
Yeah.
And for the most part, raised my children, at least for a lot of their growing up, also within the confines of fundamentalism. And then I had my deconversion. Ugh, I call it my gong show deconversion because it wasn't pretty. It was pretty messy. And of course, my kids were front row seat for that. And, you know, one day mom is, you know, wound tighter in the spring, and the next day there's no rules. Like, what's going on? So people who have left religion and kind of have a feeling for what that's like, they can tune in also, and they hear what it's like from my perspective as well as from Courtney's. And she has some great ideas and insights on helping, you know, raise your children in a healthy secular way. And so we just chat back and forth about those things. And, you know, I'm able to bring in some of my knowledge as a therapist. And it's been really fun, very enjoyable. And we record live episodes every Saturday at noon Pacific Daylight Time or Pacific Standard Time. And people can join us on, we do it live on Facebook and YouTube, and then it's on every platform that you can imagine too.
Right. One of your more recent ones, you guys talked a little bit about Easter and trying to figure out, I think for Courtney, you know, it was always kind of just a holiday where, you know, it's family. But for you, it was kind of emotional for you to talk about.
It was. That took me by surprise.
Yeah, yeah. You talked about he is risen. He has risen indeed. And like, yeah, that kind of really hits you. Like, for you, how have you reimagined the various Christian holidays?
Well, I've done education for myself, research for myself, looking at the pagan origins of all the Christian holidays, because of course they were pagan in origin. That was really helpful to me. That gave me some emotional breathing space. And then of course, The Power of Myth by Joseph Campbell was also really important for me as well in my deconstruction. And I'm fortunate because my daughters, who are now adults, they have also deconstructed from their faith, as has their father, my ex-husband. And so the four of us remain quite a tight unit. So even, you know, when I've been in other relationships since the end of the marriage, anytime there's a holiday, we do family dinner, and family means my girls and their dad. He's always going to be a part of it. And then my extended family. So I think I'm pretty lucky in that way. For a lot of people, it's just an extremely lonely time. But as you could tell from my emotion during that podcast, it still hits me sometimes.
Right.
You know, there's grief bursts sometimes still over what I lost, even though what I've gained has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Because I'm free to research and think and do and say and live exactly how I please. But sometimes there's still some sadness there too.
Yeah, I hear you. Janice, are there any other topics that you wanted to bring up today?
I think the first time you interviewed me, also, I had maybe just completed developing my divorcing religion workshop. Mm-hmm. And that is usually done as a group workshop. I do it online. It runs over 6 weeks. And every module of the workshop reflects a stage of divorce. Because to me, when I lost my faith, it was equally as emotionally difficult as when I lost my marriage. That's why I call it divorcing religion.
Right.
Right now, because I'm so busy with the conference, not able to run my usual groups, but I have the workbook for sale just on its own. And people can go to that website. It's divorcing-religion.com. And they can see my testimony there and see what I'm about and get an idea of what the workshop is like. And I hope to be running that again in the summertime. And I'd love people to sign up for that, because group work is really healing as we're learning to build our lives post-religion.
Excellent. So we've got so many things you're involved in. We have the big one is Conference on Religious Trauma. That's in May.
May 11th to 16th online.
And people can join that. You've got Divorcing Religion, which is a workshop, and you have the podcast Godless Moms.
I'm so busy.
Yeah, yes.
I need an intervention. I'm so busy.
Janice Selby, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, it's such a treat to be back. Thank you so much.
Time for the footnotes. The beat is called Waves from Makai Beats. Links will be in the show notes. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can promote it on your social media. You can subscribe to it in your favorite podcast application. And you can rate and review it on podchaser.com. You can also support the podcast by clicking on the affiliate links for books on gracefulatheist.com. If you have podcast production experience and you would like to participate with the podcast, please get in touch with me. Have you gone through a faith transition and do you need to tell your story? Reach out. If you are a creator or work in the deconstruction, deconversion, or secular humanism spaces and would like to be on the podcast, just ask. If you'd like to financially support the podcast, there's links in the show notes. To find me, you can Google Graceful Atheist, you can Google Deconversion, you can Google Secular Grace, you can send me an email, gracefulatheist@gmail.com, or you can check out the website, gracefulatheist.com. My name is David, and I am trying to be the Graceful Atheist. Join me and be graceful human beings. This has been the Graceful Atheist Podcast.